Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives are forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be joining us today. And as a special guest performance here, we've got Jack filling in for Jean Marie.
Correct. I am not Jean Marie, but I'm pretending to be here today.
Yes. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Paris Scobie about bipolar disorder. Paris is a mental health speaker. She is the host of the top 1% globally ranked podcast, Live Well Bipolar, and best-selling author of her memoir, Crooked Illness, Lessons from Inside and Outside Hospital Walls. That sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Jean already bought the book because that's one of the things that I have her do all the time. So we'll have to be getting into that book soon. Paris launched Live Well Bipolar to use her lived experience to help others overcome the shame, fear, and isolation that can so often accompany living with bipolar. She shares how she went from being a patient, struggling from inside the walls of a psychiatric hospital, newly diagnosed with bipolar, to returning to work at the same hospital years later. This unique perspective has allowed Paris to share her experiences on what truly made a difference for her to help others. Paris works to illustrate how everything she told herself she could never have or be is everything she has become today. I like that better.
Well, hello, Paris. Can you start us off by explaining what bipolar disorder is?
Yes. Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you and share my experiences and story and what's led me to this place. So to get into what bipolar disorder is, so for your audience and listeners who might not be familiar, you might have heard the bipolar disorder, right? Thrown around maybe from TV or movies, or you might actually either you might have had someone in your family or a friend of yours who was diagnosed, hospitalized. You might be familiar with the term or name bipolar. But what it is it's characterized by mainly two sides. So there's depression and mania. So there's different types of bipolar as well. So I was diagnosed with bipolar type 1 disorder. There's bipolar 2. There's unspecified mood disorders. There's cyclothymia. There's different types. And there's all different levels of like severities with symptoms and things like that. But for me, how it really presented was I was actually diagnosed with depression first. And that is very common. So on my podcast, I've done over like 200 episodes, interviews with people all over the entire world living with bipolar, or they have a loved one who is, or they work in the field. And I've heard a lot of people share that. They shared, I was actually diagnosed with depression and I was put on antidepressants and, you know, I struggled for a lot of years with that. But that was my experience because I was 16 years old when I was diagnosed with depression and I was in very new. It was my very first time going to therapy and trying different medications. And I just was really struggling for a very long time. I can tell you I started struggling with my mental health as early as 12 years old. And a lot of it I know was tied to going through sexual assault, different trauma related to experiences like that when I was younger, and just really not knowing how to communicate that, get help for that, move past that. So I really feel like I did a lot of things that actually made it worse for me. I didn't feel safe opening up to people. I was in a lot of just negative, abusive relationships and things like that. And I didn't really understand how to get on the path of what it means to live well bipolar until I actually launched the podcast. But I was, hospitalized at 19 years old. And that's when I was diagnosed with bipolar type 1. And then you mentioned in the introduction that I actually went back and I worked at the same exact hospital where I was a patient at, which I did not expect to happen at all. I graduated from college and I had a lot of different job offers and stuff like that, but I ended up going back there. But I can tell you that I felt very out of place the entire time. I felt like I tricked the system. I felt like I didn't belong there. I felt like I was constantly living in fear of what would people think if they found out that I was a patient here? Like, how would that impact things? So I just really felt like an imposter the entire time. So my way of understanding, I said, if I'm not going to let myself get free of these negative emotions and feelings and shame, a lot of it is shame, stigma, isolation, I am never going to be able to help anybody because I'm just going to be so wrapped up in it. So that's when I launched the podcast, which was 4.5 years ago, but we can get into that. But that's just a little bit of what bipolar disorder is and a little bit of my experiences over time.
Well, let me interject. My only knowledge base on bipolar comes from the very old TV series ER. I don't know if you're aware of that one.
Yes.
But in that series, one of the nurses' mothers had bipolar, and it seemed as though her actions were rather angry. What came out in the TV series is that there was an anger aspect of it. Is that something that you've found by interviewing others too?
Yes. So that's actually something I found from interviewing others. And that was actually my experience as well. So a lot of, and I think for me, it was just an inability to understand how to express my emotions and how to communicate those things.
It's an internal anger, and you're kind of angry with yourself about the situation that you're in. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's part of it. Yeah. So it's like an internal anger and stigma towards yourself. So I essentially turned, basically when you watch different TV and movies, we see, like you said, ER, right? We see depictions of bipolar and what it looks like. And sometimes, you know, for someone living with that, well, we can hear about this. And, you know, people use phrases all the time, right? Like, oh, the weather's so bipolar, or this girl's crazy, she's bipolar, or like these people are so, you know, there's like different things that people will throw out there. And I think it just makes, at least for me, it just made me feel like I could never talk about this or share this because people are gonna judge me. They're going to criticize me. They're not going to want to be my friend. They're not going to want to be around me. They might not feel safe. They may, you know, there's so much stigma with it. And I definitely turned a lot of that inward to being very unkind to myself.
Okay. All right. And did you ever have the opposite pole as far as being manic?
Yes. So my first experience with being manic was when I was 19. So I had such a deep depression from, you know, around like just 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. I was always very down. I was always very low. And I honestly wasn't even aware of it. I can tell you the truth. I didn't have insight into it. I didn't have awareness into it. That was just how I thought life was at the time. And my first experience with a manic episode, I actually was in psychosis as well. So for people who don't know what that is, it's like a psychotic episode where you are disconnected from reality and like very paranoid. You can experience different delusions. Some people have, you know, can have hallucinations and things like that. So my first experience with mania, I was actually working two jobs at the time. I was in college and I was actually in therapy. So I remember I told my therapist, I was like, I think that I'm living with bipolar. And he was like, no. He came back and he's like, no, you're not. Because he said that can't be possible because basically you're working two jobs, you're getting straight A's, you have this relationship. So essentially, like, I look really good on paper is what he was saying. Like, you don't seem like a crazy person. You don't seem like you have addiction problems. You don't seem, basically, like he was saying that, like, you don't have, you know, all of these things that I usually see. But again, it made me feel like I wasn't, it just made me feel like no one was listening to me. No one was hearing me. I was always dismissed. And it was because I was very good at hiding it. I was very
Did you have to switch doctors then at that point?
So I was very young. I was only 16.
You didn't really have any say about it, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I didn't. So I had a therapist and a psychiatrist, And I remember I just stopped going to the appointments. And I remember he was like, I think you're doing great. Like, you're doing well, like, you know, all this stuff. But I didn't feel like that. I felt like something was wrong. But I'm like, I was so young, you know, like, I was like, what was I going to do? I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to talk to. So I kind of just kept, you know, it kind of just stayed inside of me. And it just was like very difficult to manage that when I was younger.
So it didn't really come out enough for people to diagnose you until you were 19 and then hospitalized. Is that a typical age for bipolar to represent itself? Why do I keep hitting my mic? in people's lives, is it typically a young adult start?
Yes. So the typical age of onset is 18 to 25. But I've interviewed people who were not diagnosed until they were 50 or 40 or 60. Wow. Like, people, it's all ages, but you see the symptoms and people around you can notice, like, okay, something is going on with her or him. Like, I'm noticing a big difference in your personality, your behaviors, your reactions, that's when it becomes like noticeable people, and then also to the person more.
Sure, I'm sure. All right, well, I really kind of went off track there. We already found out when you received your diagnosis, so I guess I'm going to turn it over to Jack. We wanted to hear about your book.
Okay.
Yeah, so what inspired you to write a book, and why did you choose to specifically write fiction?
Yes, so what inspired me to write the book is it's pretty funny. So I started writing it. I just had like a Microsoft Word document. I was just kind of typing things out, but it actually came from the podcast. So when I told you guys that I was working at that hospital and how much shame I felt, how much isolation, I didn't know anybody else living with bipolar disorder besides celebrities that you Google on the internet. I didn't know any other real humans in my life. So I felt very alone. I felt very afraid of what would happen to me. So I said, you know what? I need to just share my story. I'm gonna do that because I know it will give me the encouragement to be able to be my authentic self, be who I really am instead of hiding parts of my experience. So I launched my podcast in February of 2020. And that's when I did my first episode. I actually ended up talking about the relationship between mental and physical health. I actually had no idea what I was doing. I was in the back of my parents' yard. I was walking. You can hear rocks crunching if you listen to that first episode. It's literally me talking to my phone with rocks crunching in the background. And then I finished recording and I was like, oh, you need to have a name. You need to have an episode name. You need to have, and I didn't know. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I ended up calling the podcast when I first launched it. It was actually called my book. So it was actually called I named it Crooked Illness. I named it the books. And then from there, and it was because I was working on it, but I was never planning on publishing a book. I was never planning on talking about this in depth, really. I just wanted to share my experiences and learn from other people. So what ended up happening is I launched the podcast and then I ended up doing a lot of interviews. So I ended up doing a lot of interviews with people living all over the world. And back then, my podcast was not specifically for bipolar disorder. It was all mental health in general. Okay. So I ended up interviewing so many different people and authors and entrepreneurs, business professionals. And they had shared their stories with me. And I had read those. And they were always asking me at the end of every interview, so tell me more about you. What are you working on? And I was always like, well, I'm kind of writing this book, but I kept telling myself, I don't know how to do it. I don't know. You know, I kept saying all these things that it's not going to happen, but I ended up writing the book because I started to think about myself when I was younger, you know, Paris 10 years ago, what was that girl needing in her life to feel like she could be me right now? What did she need? What did she need to have told to her, or what did she need to do herself to really be able to feel 100% safe and confident and comfortable? And I knew, I was like, I feel like that's someone said something to me in an interview once. He said, think about all the people that you're hurting by keeping what you know and have inside of you. So you're preventing those people from moving forward because you've done, you're doing it. You've done it in some kind of way. So that's right. Why that's the inspiration for the book. So the inspiration from the book, and actually it's not, it's my life. So it's a memoir.
Oh, okay.
It's a memoir about my experiences. And I it says fiction because the names are changed. There's like names of people just to protect.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Kind of where that comes in. But yeah, the inspiration for the story was really being able to, one, and also again, like with the cover of the book, you guys can see there's three doors on here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Three doors. So that is symbolic of the three phases of my life. So going from being a patient in the psychiatric hospital, feeling alone, fearful, isolated. That second door is me going back and working as a provider in that hospital, you know, trying to understand mental health. I went back and I got my master's in my MBA in healthcare administration. So continuing to educate myself on the industry. And then that final door is my path into advocacy and speaking publicly, you know, sharing these experiences and what I do today for a living. So it's really that progression of how did I get here? I had to move through those phases.
Sure. I have a statement that I'm going to throw off script here. Have you ever considered, I do this a lot, have you ever considered becoming a subject matter expert for films and TV shows so that they represent bipolar in a more legitimate way?
Yeah, that's an excellent comment. And yeah, that's definitely something that I would, you know, be open to as well, just to help them like really portray that accurately. Because I'm definitely someone you know, people can come to ask those questions and, you know, get better insight of what that would look like. So yeah, that's sure. Definitely something that I can would be able to assist with.
Yeah, I have a friend who has experience as a set designer for movies and film. And I'll throw a question out to her to ask, where would you send your resume or your letter of introduction if you were interested in doing this? And then I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
So this was the first book that you wrote, correct?
Yes.
And what was the publication process like for you? Like Jean and I, we did a memoir. It took 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very emotional because it talked about both of our lives in the military and the fact that we had similar experiences, but it was cathartic, which is good. Mm-hmm. But you get to a point and it's like, oh my God, and it's bringing all the trauma back and then you can't move, you're frozen. Mm-hmm. So what was your, I'm thinking that you may have had a similar experience because you're pouring your heart out into your book. And I don't know if you had a similar experience where you'd have to close it, step back and say, oh my God, this is just too much. Or was it pretty just going out there and a lot of word salad and then you put it together and made a book?
Yeah, so I definitely felt that same way as you. It was, and for me, so it was a lot of emotional stuff that was resurfacing because, of course, you know, when you're writing a memoir and a story of your life and going back to certain times, it's going to bring up feelings and things that maybe, and at least for me, I was pretty surprised because I was like, I thought that I worked through all of this stuff. You know, I was in therapy, I had discussed different things, but honestly, the book was actually a breakthrough moment for me to really heal my relationship with my mom. So I talk about it in the book is we had a very tumultuous relationship. It wasn't, you know, when I was younger growing up and things like that, I was very close with my dad. He was like my just best friend, coached me in basketball growing up, was always, you know, around and very encouraging, but I didn't have that with my mom. I didn't have that relationship and I never felt like I was enough, like she cared or loved me or any of this stuff. It wasn't like that. But the book was a great opportunity because I remember it basically got me to go back to therapy because I haven't been in therapy for a long time. And okay. I was like, you know what? I need to go back and find a therapist and work on this stuff because it's clearly still an issue. This is bothering me and we don't have, it's something's going on. So I remember it, and I actually, you know, prior to publishing the book, I obviously told my mom, I said, hey, you know, I'm writing this book, here's what I'm, you know, I'm doing. And we ended up having a conversation, and she's like, you know, I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to be there for you when you were, you know, when you were younger and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm so proud of you and what you're doing. And I feel like me being so open, it's actually allowed her to heal a lot of her past trauma from her childhood and to really feel like she can do it. Cause I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I definitely have, I've seen this array with like different generations, right? So with the younger generation and with older generations, I feel like older generations, they were not raised to talk about mental health, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes.
You don't get into these topics. You don't, if something's going on, you just, you push through, you pray about it. You, there's different things people do, but and that's really, I mean, her experience and then also my grandma. So it's generational. So I feel like I've been the one to really break that cycle and, you know, do that work. And honestly, it's really, I'm very grateful because I honestly thought I would, you know, I've been married a year now. So I talk about my husband in the book and he was my boyfriend at the time. So he's in there. But he's always been such a supportive partner. And I remember telling him, I was like, it's really hard for me because I would have panic attacks. I would have really bad anxiety, like really bad depression about it. Cause I'm like, it just bothers me so much. I'm like, you have such a good relationship with your mom and I don't have this. Like, we're ever going to have this. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to having that conversation, but I will say for people, you do not need to heal or allow someone to remain in your life if that person is unwilling to do the work. If they are unwilling to take accountability and apologize or be present for pain that they have caused in your experience, you do not need to have them just because they're family, right? Just because this person is my mom or my dad, if they are abusive and hurtful towards you, it's worth protecting your own mental health and you need to put that first. But if the person is open and, you know, I want to do the work and I see, you know, like they're open to understanding and doing it and healing and that, I would say it's worth a conversation. But, you know, just a note there is you don't need to feel like you need to keep people in your life who are really bringing you down and hurting you.
That's probably a very important statement. And I hope all our listeners pick up on that. I really like that. Thank you.
And I was also going to say, I mean, being the special guest that I am, yes. I'm technically younger. I'm Gen Z.
Yeah.
And just like the statement that you made, it's also, I mean, obviously it's correct, like much different for us talking about mental health so openly and everything like that. But as far as like, you know, your older generation parents, it's also just like, it's
almost taboo.
Yeah, but it's also like, I don't know, if they're open to it, it's almost like a teaching moment for them too.
If they're open to it, like she's saying.
Right,
that's
right.
The problem. If they're not open to it, if they can't get past that, oh my God, no, we can't talk about that.
But you kind of got to break through that wall. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, at least for my parents, like when these things would come up in the beginning, it was like, they were kind of more like, you know, whoa, like I wasn't expecting all of this, but.
Well, yeah, it can be overwhelming in the beginning, right. But still the fact that they're willing to take those steps with you, that's what's important.
Exactly.
Right.
But, but Paris, what was the collaborative process with, like who illustrated the book? I know you were talking about, you showed the cover about the three doors and everything like that. So what was that like just trying to, you know, get that idea of like what you wanted the cover to be and then actually, you know, getting to the point of seeing the cover and being really happy with it.
Yeah. So what I did is I worked with a cover and interior designer, and then I also had an editor as well. So inside the book, it's inside of like when you open it, it's like this page right here that just, it tells you all the information. So my editor, her name was Sophia Capel, and then my cover and interior designer, his name was Nuno Moira. So I worked with both of them. And what was helpful is, especially for anyone who's listening to this, who wants to write a book, right? Maybe you want to write a book or you want to share your story or experiences. And maybe say it's not necessarily a memoir. Maybe you just want to write, you know, a fiction or, you know, a different series or something like that, right? I think what's important is, you know, for me, the steps that I took is I started, you just have to start writing it, right? So I took out, and what I did is I had a Word document on my computer and I kind of organized the chapters. So I organized the different chapters and I would dedicate time to like working on it. And then I got in contact with my editor and there was different rounds of editing. So she would take a look at it. She would give it to me and it was like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then the cover designer, he was super helpful because my original, I had an idea. I was like, I really want the cover to be, it was almost like basically what it is today. I was like, I wanted it to be like kind of me, like, you know, looking into a mirror, different glass, or like there was all these concepts I had in my head, but he really did such an awesome job of taking my idea and then showing me different images. So what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And we would go back and forth. And it was really cool because I actually got my audience involved. I would share with them on my Instagram stories and stuff. I would say, hey guys, like, here's different possible covers that I got back. Like, and I would have them vote. Like, which one do you like? Which one do you think is, you know, speaks to you more? So it was super interesting to get feedback from my audience and people who relate to the story. But yeah, I started writing the book. So I met my husband, it'll be 6 years on August 11th. So we met 6 years ago. We got married in March 4th of 2023. But I started writing the book after I met. So I met him in August of 2018. I think I had a Word document going sometime in like 2019, something like that. So it was just kind of my ideas and my story. And then the book, I ended up publishing it in October of 2021. So like the idea, like here's kind of what I want to think about writing. So probably 2 years of like working on it, basically from start to finish. So like from idea to my head, like here's what I'm thinking of doing until it was done, the process. But that was kind of how it worked out for me. And it was super helpful. And I would definitely highly recommend anybody who is thinking about writing a book to work with an editor, with a cover designer, like at the minimum. If you're going to do anything, at least have, you know, do that, right? So, but yeah, I was super thankful for everyone involved. And yeah, I honestly never thought that I would be a published author, but I feel like it's helped so many people. And that's why we do it, right? To help people and to help ourselves and to make a difference.
Right. Absolutely.
And I mean, I know you've already talked about it a lot, being a podcaster. And how do you find your guests to talk to?
Yeah. So I've been doing this for 4.5 years now. So I started out, you know, a lot of it was just word of mouth, you know, and I feel like it grows. I mean, it's been 4.5 years, but there was different websites where you can go on and sign up as I'm a podcast host or I'm someone who wants to be a guest, and it would like match you with people. But a lot of it actually came down from when I first started. I would just go online and I would meet people and I would interview them. And then they would say, oh, I have a guest I can connect you with. So it was a lot of it is networking. So a lot of it is my network and, you know, people that I've met or people that I've interviewed in the past. And honestly, a lot of it too is just putting yourself out there. So when you're a new podcaster, right, you're brand new, you know, no one knows about you. They don't know about your show. They don't know about what you're doing. So you need to market yourself. You need to put yourself out there and you need to talk about why you do this, right? Why did you start your podcast? Who is it for? What are people going to get out of it? How is it going to help them? So talk about it, you know, and start from there. And that's really how I've connected with a lot of my guests. And now it's like, we're in 2024, my show is booked out the entire year. So it's, and a lot of it comes from, again, like, you know, so many people that I've met and know, and I release episodes every single Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So a lot of it comes down as well to your schedule, right? As a podcast host, you know, when are you going to be releasing episodes? So that way you can kind of plan and coordinate, like, am I doing a solo episode? Do I have someone I want to interview? So that's kind of my process and kind of like how it's evolved over the years.
Okay. All right. Well, we started basically because our cousin was, she was on her last month of life. She had problems with her liver and she was on the transplant list for a year and couldn't get one here in the Chicago area. And Jean and I were out at Duke University for a rehab program because Jean was injured in the Army. And while we were unpacking, we met the people that were unpacking next door to us, and they're calling over their car bumper, you know, "Hey, are you here for Duke's transplant program?" And we're like, "No." And I'm like, "Why are you unpacking if you're here for a transplant program? Don't you have transplants where you live?" And they came from Boston, and they said, "Well, yeah, we have transplants there, but they do more at Duke than anywhere else in the world." So naturally, I stopped unpacking, went to Duke, went to the transplant coordinator, and insisted, because I'm so important, that they're going to listen to me. I mean, I was really kind of silly, but I did it. And I insisted that they see her, and I flew her down that week. They put her in the program that week, and she was transplanted 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And we learned so much. Like you're saying, there's a lot of different little parts to each illness or diagnosis. We learned so much. We said, you know, do other people know all this? Let's do a podcast. So that's how we got started. And we get a lot of our guests on social media. I belong to all of the different groups on Facebook and now TikTok. And, you know, you find somebody there that's newly diagnosed that really doesn't have a clue yet. And first of all, you want to help them find all the clues. But, oh, another suggestion would be to have your own website. I don't know if you do or not.
Yes. So I do. Yeah. So I do have my own website, and I do, find a lot of my guests on social media as well. So same thing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important. And then, social health networks. It used to be called WeGo Health. Are you a part of them?
What is it called? So
it used to be called WeGo Health, WEGO. Now it's called Social Health Network.
Okay, so I don't know the old name, but I think I know about it because I've seen there's like Social Health Network Awards or something. Like
Yes.
So I just learned about them. Actually, because I had two friends of mine who were sharing it and on their accounts and saying, you know, there's this thing to vote on.
You need to get in there because that publicity will help you also. We've been a member of that group for, well, since we started, and we won two awards with them.
Wow.
And this year I didn't even put in for it because I said, you know, let somebody else do this once in a while.
Yeah.
But it is good to get your name out there. We highly recommend them. That's a good group.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I've never looked in. I don't know anything about them really. So that's super cool that you.
I'll send you a link. Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
I got a to-do list going here. Social Health Network. All right. I will be sending you all kinds of links.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So we already talked about how long you've been podcasting. What are your feelings about the process? Like, do you have a jack? Do you have a nice editor that can smooth out the audio and put in the intro and the outro and all that?
Yeah. So I actually used to. I used to have like there was like a team of people and stuff. But then it's just me. It's all me.
Oh, wow.
So I tell people, I'm like, everything, like I've been doing this, for 4.5 years, but I honestly, it's pretty simple because similar to you guys, I don't use the video either. Like back in the day I did like YouTube, I would upload it, but I don't do that. It's all audio. So it's not really that. I mean, I'll record and then I'll like cut out some things and then get it ready to go. But I've worked with people in the past and they've helped kind of get it set up and scheduled. And I'm not like opposed to doing that again. Like I probably will, you know, get back into that, you know, at some point. But that's cool that you guys have. I love you were saying so, Jack. And then what was your name again?
This is Jack. I'm Lita.
And Jack. Okay.
Right. And then Jean is my daughter. She's the injured vet. Ron, he was a grad student with me, and I grabbed him because. I didn't know anything about podcasting, and I heard on you know, I was listening to books on how to podcast, and they said having a different voice in the podcasting will help get the keep the attention of your guests and things like that. Well, Ron has a real deep voice. So that's the first thing I thought about. I said, Ron, you want to be a podcaster with us? And he's like, sure, why not? So we have Ron and Gene and I.
And that's why you chose me today, too.
Yes, yes. And Jack is actually my nephew, and he does the editing after the fact. And sitting over in the booth is my grandson, Sean, today. He's taping for us.
Oh, so cool.
I can't do it all. I have complex PTSD amnesia.
Yeah.
And I cannot learn new things very well. And
yeah,
I don't need to take on more than I can handle. So I pass it on. You do
I love that.
That.
That's so cool that it's like the family involved. Like, it's so cool to hear, like, you're like my grandson, Sean, my nephew, and your daughter.
Right.
And it's so cool. I love that. And I think that's what is so beautiful about podcasting is really, I think it's helped me so much with getting into what I do for a career now as a public speaker. I mean, I used to be so afraid of public speaking. I would even in school when they would do popcorn and it would get to me to read out loud, I would run to the bathroom, I would hide. I hated it. But I can tell you, I would never be doing this today had I not done the podcast. Because even when I first started it, I was so nervous before interviewing people. I would get so scared and nervous, but I was excited, but I was so nervous. And now today it's like, it's
old
just,
hat.
Yeah.
You're just talking to people. That's all it is. So you're just talking to people. It's communication and it opens you up and you learn something new every day. I love it. I love it. I really do.
Right. And I think that's the powerful thing is it teaches you about, communication and understanding people, listening and active listening, and just really also sharing that to help people who are listening. So I feel like it's taught me so much because had I not started this, I would have never spoken on stages. I would have never traveled to, give presentations and stuff like this. I wouldn't do that because I would be too scared.
Have you done a TED Talk yet?
So actually, you know what? I have so many friends and they've done like a bunch of TED Talks. And I did submit. There was one locally for the university that I went to. But I think they're like pushing it to like fall. But I am going to be doing one. So that
okay,
is
great. Well, you're going to have to let us know when you do because we'd like to watch that.
Yes, I'll share it with you guys.
All right.
So back to the topic. Paris, what role has self-care played in your life?
Yeah, so self-care for me is really the foundation of everything. Because if I'm not taking care of myself, I can't show up for anyone. I can't show up for my husband, my family, my friends. So I actually did not know anything about self-care like 10 years ago. I've probably heard the name thrown around, but I didn't look into it. I didn't know what it was. So I really got heavily into self-care probably 6 years ago. So 6 years ago is when I really was like, I need to do something different or I'm going to continue feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, frustrated, stuck. So I really looked at my life, right? So I took out a piece of paper and I wrote out habits, thoughts, environments, relationships, things that I'm consuming, my nutrition, my diet, my sleep, all of these pieces of the puzzle that make up my life and my routine. And it really helped me see that I was surrounding myself with bad people who didn't care about me. They liked me because I was a party girl. I would go out and I would drink and I was loud and I was like, sleeping with all these people. I was sad and I was like, I needed to work on it. So I saw that. And then I also saw that I spent a lot of time negatively speaking to myself, putting myself down, telling myself that I'm not good enough, telling myself that I'm undeserving of love. So that was the first part of self-care. The first part of self-care is getting clear on where are you right now. And I actually have a gift I can share for you guys. It's a free self-care guide that I created. So it's free.
Oh.
Anyone can download it. I also have a free bipolar wellness workbook. as well that people can download. I can share those links for you guys if you want to put
Wonderful.
In the show notes.
Yeah, because we'll put them on our website for you.
Yeah, and it's a free download. People can get it and just, and it really what it helps you do is it helps you see, okay, here's where I am. Here's what I'm unhappy with. Here's what I'm frustrated with. It gives you clarity so that way you can go and say, what do I need to do differently? And for me, what I did is I cut out alcohol, right? And I say this like, so I'm not 100%, like I was never someone who was an alcoholic who was really, 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 really like could not function because of that. And I'm thankful for that, right? That wasn't my position, but I just did not like how I was when I was drinking, when I would go out and get drunk, or it just wasn't, you don't feel good. It's not good for your body. It's not good for, it doesn't really do anything for you. So now, I mean, I'll drink a couple times a year if it's like celebrating something, but it's not really a part of my life anymore as much as it was. So I've changed that. I've also healed my relationship, which was huge with my mom, huge. And I've made a lot, such different friends. All the people in my life today are so supportive. They're all passionate about things. They're, you know, into taking care of themselves. My friends before, they wanted to go out and party and drink and none of that stuff. So a lot of it was, I've really restructured my entire life. And I did it. It took me I started this 6 years ago. So slowly, and I think to not overwhelm people, right? You don't need to do it all at once. You can start with one thing. Start with one piece, see how you feel. So maybe it's introducing going on walks. Maybe, hey, I'm going to start going on walks. Or something else I do is I do not go on social media at all on Saturday or Sundays. I don't go on my phone. Okay. So I'm present with my family. I'm present with my friends because I feel like I get so consumed. I'm always on my email. I'm always on my Instagram or my LinkedIn. And it's like, it just consumes all my time. And it's like, I need to really, you know, so it's really just discovering what it means for you. And that's kind of my journey with it.
Okay, great. Excellent. So what's next for you? And are you looking forward to accomplishing anything new this next year or two?
Yes. So what's next for me is I'm actually going to be going out to Virginia next month and giving a talk on, it's one of the keynotes that I have. So it's called Dismantling the Roots of Self-Stigma. So I'm going to be doing a workshop on that, infused with my story. And then me and my husband actually are going to be going to Bora Bora, Tahiti, and Moorea in about 3 weeks. We've never been there. It's our first time. It'll be our first time going out there. So that's like a nice...
Very jealous.
it'll be a fun... Like, yeah, I mean, it's never been there. We're actually going to swim with humpback whales. So I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited for that. So I got some adventure coming up. And then again, like just with the end of the year approaching, I know we're looking into like, you know, starting a family some point. So that's, you know, not this year or next year, you know, maybe later on, but that's definitely the next big milestone for me. So for sure, the next big milestone is just really, you know, our marriage, right? Getting to know, like spending time with each other, my family, my friends, my colleagues and stuff. And, you know, continuing to work on my business, which is my speaking business, and, you know, sharing those stories for people. But yeah, really just honestly, just I think my season of life right now is just grace and peace. It's not this go, 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 push, 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 push. Even though I kind of am still that, like I'm always doing a lot. I'm always, you know, I do a lot, right? But I've learned now to, you know, take time for myself and not be so hard on myself and not be so unkind to myself and actually celebrate myself for how far I've come. I mean, to be in the place I am now, to have such a supportive partner, to have a relationship with my mom and my family and, you know, have shared my book to help people and the podcast and speaking. I mean, I did not think I'd be here 10 years ago. So it's something worth saying is for people listening, if you don't do this already, you know, something you can do is take out a sticky note every day and write one thing you're thankful for and just put it in a jar. And that's, I have this little box right here where I do that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd like to put a bug in your ear for an idea that you might want to use.
Yeah.
Since you've been podcasting for so long and you have so many stories already, What if you published an anthology of sorts that each of your guests gets their own chapter?
That's funny you say that, because I literally said that 2 nights ago to my husband. I said that's because I know I'm going to, I literally said that. I said, I'm going to do that. I actually am. That's something that I'm going to do. So I know I'm going to write, that's going to happen, but I haven't planned it out or anything. I know it is, but that's funny you say that, because we were talking about that 2 days ago.
I could see that. I could see that. And I would be interested in purchasing such a book. So I think that would be a great idea for you.
Thank you.
And do you have any social media or contact info that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. So the number one place you guys can go to connect with me is on Instagram. So it is paris.scobie is my account. And then I also have Live Well Bipolar as well. So those are my two Instagram accounts. And in my bio, I have a link. So in the link, there is the link to my website. There is a link to my free resources. So I have the self-care guide there. I have the free bipolar wellness workbook there. And then, and then my newsletter. I have a free newsletter that I put out every single Monday. Actually, no, every single Tuesday, where I give some more behind the scenes on my podcast. So I kind of take everyone on a journey of here's why I want to interview this person. And here's what you can get out of it. And then also just sharing practical tips. Yeah. So practical tips on my life, right? So real time, here's what I'm dealing with. So yeah. So that's the place you guys can go is that account, those Instagram accounts. And then my website is parisscobie.com.
Oh, okay. Great. I will put those links on our website. Every one of our guests gets their own page.
Oh, cool.
And this way I can allow others to find them and have all the links handy. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate talking to you. I'm sorry that you didn't get the full compliment of Podcast DX, but you got a good substitute here.
I know. Well, no, thank you, Lita and Jack, for having me. And then you said Sean's in the back
Sean's in the back. Yep.
And Sean and Gene is out today. But yeah, I'm excited that I could connect with you guys and share my story and journey and work to really help others and remind people that, if you live with bipolar disorder, it's not a death sentence. It's not, the end of the world. It's something that it feels like that for sure. I can totally understand. It definitely does. But it's something that we can, use to understand how to show up for ourselves and, create that community. And that's what I've done. So if you're someone listening to this who, is living with bipolar disorder and you're feeling stuck and you're feeling alone, you're feeling trapped, my podcast have that free resource for you. You can go on there. There's over 200 episodes of people all over the world. And then also my book as well is Crooked Illness, my memoir. And then you can always connect with me, send me a message. I'm always open to talk and have conversation, but I really appreciate you guys. And it's been amazing. And, thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate it too. And if you could stay on the line until we download all of our audio, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're also found on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, and Instagram.
And, ooh, so exciting. My first time saying this.
Yeah.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.